Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Well, if someone's talking, I can't hear them. Jeannie, I know you're there. Michael?
Hi there.
Hello.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hey. Yeah. Just as the show was beginning to start, Michael's phone went dead, so he had to dial back in again. So we made it. So welcome to the show. This is Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice, and you have Dr. Tim Hayes and myself, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. We do already have a hand up. I think it's actually Reg. And our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Here you go, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. Welcome, everybody. We are delighted, honored, blessed that you're with us today once again. And on the team supporting the understanding of first century Aramaic forgiveness on planet Earth. Seeing as how Rex is on the show, my introduction is going to be very short. We'll see what Rex has got to say. I know he's been doing some deep stuff in prison and all over the place. And but you know, one of the ideas of this work is to bring the human being, and of course our definition of a human being is hold a newborn child, fully into physiology, fully into our human forms. If you hold a newborn child, you know that the human life is composed of the active presence of love. And if we have a human form that doesn't have the active presence of love available, then we don't have a human life. And I happen to, I've started to get onto Facebook. You can connect with us through Why Is This Happening to Me Again on Facebook if you like, but I've sort of resisted touching. In the last few days, I've started to learn and get onto Facebook, and I saw an interesting quote there, and it has to do with this bringing of human life into form, and there are many attributes of human life. You know, if you look at, for instance, the Buddhist tradition, it works on bringing human life in through the act of compassion, through practicing compassion, and that's one of the attributes of human life. Of course, the active presence of love is one of the others. Caring, concern, gentleness are some of the others. But the one that this one related to really struck me, and it was the attribute of gratitude. And actually, we're just getting ready to put a new worksheet on the website, which will include that concept of gratitude. But the post that really impacted me was, what if, on a daily basis, everything that you did not say thank you for the day before was taken away from you? The only thing that you had to live with were the things that you thanked the Creator for day to day. It would be interesting if you contemplate that. And perhaps that will inspire us to move into that state of gratitude. And so that's my intro for today, and I'll just leave you with that thought, that imagine that on a daily basis, anything you did not say thank you for the day before is whisked away from you, and you're left only with the things that you said thank you for. Interesting idea. Brings another human faculty in if we start to practice that action of gratitude. And so, Jeannie, you've got Rex on there. Let's say hello to the young man. How do you be, sir?
I'm doing very well this
morning. Can you hear me, Rex?
I can. Can you hear me now?
Well, awesome. You've been pumping your work, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I have been experiencing a lot of change, obviously, in my life and in my world, and challenges that I've set up that have helped me see more clearly my own denial and dissociated states, because that's one of my commitments to healing, and is to look at everything that I have dissociated from and learn to embrace it with love.
Rex, maybe for those that are new to the show, you could just explain that denial and dissociated state so that those who are new have a concept of that. We usually kind of do it as the intro each time, but for new folks, why don't you just briefly explain that for us?
Absolutely. The simplest version I have of it, Michael, is I believe that we are created in the image and likeness of our Creator as pure love. And as pure love, that is what is true, and that is truly what we are designed to express and live as. And at a very early time in my life, and I think we all do this, I believe it's a very common exercise, everyone does, is that we come in pure and clear as that pure love, and then we become dissociated from our awareness of that beingness and our expression of pure love, and we shut down our awareness, and then that based on what was being taught at the time to us, that you deny that you did that. I denied that I did that, and then I made up an image around God or around that pure love, and then I projected that it caused it. It abandoned me. And in that experience, I dissociated from that level of awareness. So as I go through my life, I am finding now that I have gone through many layers and many levels of adding material to that, kind of like what Mr. Planck says about the states of a matter that don't really exist, about being nested frequencies within nested frequencies within nested frequencies. And that's kind of what I'm seeing with this core pattern of apparent abandonment that never could have happened. And so in our context of my more current healing is digging in deeper into those levels, I got to see that I had actually been in denial about another level of rage that was coming up in me, and also very deep levels of sadness and grief and loss of that point in time when I lost awareness of my Creator, or I decided to lose awareness of my Creator or put it to sleep, and how it linked up with the loss of my son in his transition, and combined together with supporting a friend, going through their healing process, it was all elevated to such a magnitude that I co-created an awesome couple people, more than a couple, but a lot of people, but, you know, specifically Tim and Michael and Mitzi and Jeannie to support me in seeing my denial and my dissociated state. And as a result, I've had new breakthroughs, and it just continues to unfold inside me, but I'm seeing more clearly the sadness and pain and grief that I have inside that I am letting go of, that I'm forgiving and doing the work. So how is that?
Sounds right on track. Awesome.
Awesome. And I just... each time I tap into another level of denial, and I like your working definition of denial, is that it has something to do with somebody else when I'm upset. You know, it's kind of like I laugh because it truly never does, because when I'm in the state of pure love, there's no upset to deny, you know. And so the experience that I've been having is to tap into such deep levels of denial, because I was matching it energetically with the experience I was having surfacing in me that I thought it had to do with something outside of myself. And so that was that has been and continues to be daily. A lot of breathing and a lot of worksheets and a lot of the work of just opening up more and more levels, and totally admiring and appreciating, you know, Michael and your directness and your support of just really just calling me out, you know, literally. I mean, we don't need to get into any specifics, but the truth is, Michael, you held the space, Jeannie, you held the space, Tim, you hold the space, and held the space for me, and Mitzi as well, and just really supported me with seeing that I've got all these loving beings that are exampling love in my field because I am love. And they were showing me that, and what I was seeing was something other than that when I was in the throes of the denial and in the pain and the fear and the hostility. As those things were surfacing in me, I couldn't see outside of my content. I did pretty good for being unconscious, but I don't know. It's not ideal. But what I'm finding is that just to let it all go and to see how intricate I have made my own denial of truth. It isn't intricate at all. It actually is very simple. And I was sharing this with a client this morning as a theme. It's so simple. I'm either experiencing pure love, and this is a quote from Michael in one of his conversations with me over this period of time. Either I'm experiencing pure love and exampling love, or I'm not. And there really isn't any other options. You know, I'm either being and exampling the pure love that I am, or I'm not. And what it's helping me with right now is, if I'm not, then I'm experiencing some form of denial and dissociated state that I have an opportunity to forgive in me. They have an opportunity to apply tools to forgive and to release and to become more aware again and to presence love again and to reestablish the filters of love. So it's so simple in that. The other part of that I've realized even to a much greater degree is that I'm either adding love to the experiences that I am having and anyone in my field or in my thoughts or in my experience in any way, shape, or form, or anyone on the planet, I will be adding love to it if I'm experiencing that in me. And if I'm not, then I'm adding whatever it is I'm not, or that I don't perceive I am, if I'm adding hostility or fear, and I can make it look really good. I've understood about myself how I can really make it look almost nice. but the truth is, it's either love or it's not, and that's what I've really come to in a place where I'm at now, and it's just so much easier to just go, hey, I'm either feeling and experiencing the pure love that I am or I'm not. And if I'm not, come on, Rex, exercise your tools. You know what they are. Do it. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, Michael.
Well, that's awesome. And, of course, the great deceiver, it's been called, can even trick us that we're doing it when we're not. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why Yeshua sent teachers out two by two, and that we need someone who can keep us in check, who can, because when we go off the rails in this denial and dissociation, the hallucinations the mind produces that it's all everybody else's fault are so clear and so powerfully, we believe, accurate that it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's right on, because that's the part where I think it's also an example of where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the presence, there I am in the midst of them, is expressing, because that's exactly what you have done. And I have been able to do that many times. And I really feel good about doing that when I do. And part of my challenge in my dissociated state was I had made the experience that I thought was conscious, fully conscious, about being supported, and I had linked it with my file on my dad, and that said that, well, support equaled something negative. Support equaled something I had to hide from, or I was going to get yelled at or something. And so I had these associations, and it took a lot of vitality for me to be able to see what it is that I saw over the last week and to bring it up. And so, you know, part of it was, you know, doing a workshop on relationships that was just marvelous. I really enjoyed it. It was just a wonderful workshop, preparing for a, you know, experiencing pure joy by embracing your inner child workshop that I'm doing this Sunday at the Unity Church, and a talk, you know, doing a talk on, you know, embracing death, or the name of the talk was Dying to Get There. It's kind of a concept that we have, that I believe that we have, that we are dying our bodies, or apparently killing these bodies from the moment when we dissociated from our awareness of our love and our beingness as infants. And sometimes it takes quite a while to do it, but we're dying to get back to God, but we never left. There was nothing to leave. It's right here. And so a combination of that, and then the other piece, Michael, that I'm really excited about, and Jeannie in our audience, is that the PAGRA, the idea of relationships, and how when we form relationships based in love, that PAGRA actually can be and is designed to be a really, the PAGRA is the Aramaic word for the third entity or the third part of us, a consciousness that's created anytime we engage in a relationship. And what we have done, Michael, intentionally and consciously, and Jeannie and our team, is that we've created a PAGRA that is just generating so much love that when I might forget, I can count on that. And that's the teamwork. That's the energy that can remind me that another part of, let's say, just you and I, Michael, in our relationship, I recognize that more fully. And I see how healing is never done alone. And there's just so many things that are coming much more clear to me right now. I'm sharing them in the moment. I'm seeing them more clearly. And also, they've just been, it's kind of like downloads of awareness. But what I think it really is just I'm letting go of more of my own denial of who I thought I was and allowing who I am to come forth. And it isn't, it is, it just is, it's just an unfolding. So I'm excited about it. There's a lot happening, obviously.
Very cool. Well, you know, if you remember the definition of Ruka Dukkha, it's she who undoes the effects of errors and teaches us the truth. That's when, mm-hmm. when we make the space for that, that's when those downloads will come. And to deny her, to deny it, is to be stuck in unforgiveness, to be stuck in those old states. So that's right on track. Awesome.
Beautiful. And in addition to my desiring to share what I just shared, I have a question for you, Michael, about the mind shifter, the mind goal management. And I've had two people in the last week share with me that they feel that the actual sheet itself is complex. I don't experience it that way. I'm really good with the sheet. I really love the mind goal management worksheet. I use it, yet I thought it might be helpful because we haven't talked about that in a long time to maybe review it a little bit and converse about it and share your ideas and experience of it. I would love to hear another review on it. And I have a couple people that are listening in that would also like to hear it.
Cool. Well, if you remember, one of the ideas in my book is that to a complex mind, the truth is complex, and to a simplified mind, the truth is simple. And it's a form of denial to say, that's too complex for me, when I can own that the complexity is in my own mind, that I make things complex, and making things complex is a way to avoid engaging. It's a way to avoid doing. So when I say that, And, you know, and to me, the documentation of that is that you and I look at the sheet, and it's simple, it's straightforward, it's ABC. If the sheet were truly complex, it would be complex for me, for you, and everybody else who looks at it. For somebody who doesn't have the brain cells and the mind tends to make things complex, then it's going to the denial language that is complex will allow one to dissociate from the part of their minds that keeps them in complexity. And I think that the complexity that we tend to keep ourselves in instead of going down to the simplest level is just a way to keep out of truth. It's a way to keep, it's a defense against understanding and being directly in touch with truth. And so the mind goal management sheet, there is one thing that's a little tricky about it, and that is that wherever you start on the sheet, and folks who want to access the mind goal management sheet, you can go to www.whyagain.org, and in the there's a bullseye in the center of the page. If you click that and just look down the list for mind goal management, you'll see the sheet. And the one thing that can be tricky about it is that wherever you start, there's an evening exercise to do and there's a morning exercise to do. And wherever you start with the process, you got to start in the middle. You know, when you do the morning exercise or the morning part of the worksheet, it presupposes that you did the work the night before. When you do the night part of the worksheet, it presupposes that you did the morning's work. So you have to kind of start in the middle, and that is a little tricky. But other than that, you know, basically it's a format for relieving yourself of stress. The evening set part of the worksheet is about relieving yourself from the stresses of the day. You know, the world doesn't teach us what causes stress. I've sat in front of some of the best stress experts, lecturers in the world that are world famous for their stress management, but they don't know what stress is or how it's caused. They can tell you, oh, you should breathe, you should relax, you should take a day off, you know, all coping tools, but in terms of the actual core of stress, I haven't found anybody that understands it, except 2,000 years ago, the man named Yeshua showed us exactly how stress was created. And the way that you do that is you create a goal. So in the evening, basically, before you go to sleep, you want to cancel all goals so that you're stress-free. You know, and the level of stress created by a goal, and the way you see it and the way you want it to be. So if I have this huge gap between the way I see it and the way I want it to be, let's take an example. I want my dad to approve of me and love me, and I feel like I'm worthless and he's never even, you know, given me the time of day. There's a huge gap. When that goal exists in the mind, it creates huge quantities of stress. And when that stress is activated, then the mind will tend to go back to power person dynamics that came from relationship with dad. And when you cancel the goal, what happens is it alleviates the stress, it collapses the projections of the mind, and it gives the opportunity to go directly to the core of the internal aspect of whatever it is, the hostility or fear. And so by canceling the goal tonight, you get a chance to process those unconscious stresses. You get to sleep stress-free. And then once you've canceled all the goals from the day and from your whole lifetime, because there are only two ways that you can alleviate the stress from a goal. Either the goal has to be canceled or it has to be achieved. Otherwise, it remains latent in the mind forever. And most people are functioning under literally genetic goals, childhood goals, teen goals, relationship goals, spousal goals, education goals. They're just a whole series of them. We actually, in the workshop, the DVD, Getting the Stress You Need, we go through a meditation and work on canceling in each of those areas. And so then once you've alleviated the stresses of the day so there's a clear mind, then what the sheet shows you is a format for framing and getting goals ready for setting next morning. You don't set them the night before. If you go back 2,000 years ago in the Greek translations of Yeshua's words, you wouldn't know he was talking about stress management when he says, sufficient for the day are the evils thereof. That word evil means that which is incomplete. actually it's unripened or incomplete. If you properly apply the word evil in Aramaic, at least one of the distinct meanings, if you had, let's say, an apple tree and the fruit was all still green, you would say those apples are evil. Not that, as the Greeks would tell us, there's something wrong with them. They're just not complete yet. They're still unripe. And so what Yeshua is saying with that statement, sufficient for the day are the evils thereof, is that you don't want to have any more goals in your mind creating stress than you are ready to handle in the next waking period. And so the worksheet is about framing, not setting, but framing goals for tomorrow, the where, what, why, when, and how. And once you frame the goal, then the last step on the worksheet before you go to sleep is to ask for guidance on each of those goals. Are they appropriate? Do they fit in your life? Do they support your purpose, both primary and secondary? And then off to sleep. In the morning, first thing, the instructions are there. Do 5 minutes of conscious breathing. Tap into love. Read something that's a higher mindset than your culture has taught you and holds you in. And then check over and see if you've got any feedback with sleep as to whether or not each of your goals are on purpose. Are they connected? Do they support love in your life? And are they things that you still want to achieve? And if they do, check them off and go for it. You go through your day, and rather than a huge to-do list, you've only got the goals, that is the stresses, that you can reasonably achieve. People who walk around with the million things on their to-do list are the kinds of people who usually end up procrastinating because the mind becomes so overloaded with stress that they don't have enough resources to even do what's in front of them. And so we invite people to put only what they can reasonably complete in a day. And what you find is if you do that, then you have all the resources you need, at least all the resources that you're capable of carrying to an event, so that you have the strength and the intelligence, the intuition, and the capability to bring that into expression. And then at the end of the day, you review, did I complete everything? If not, I cancel those goals. Are there any other things that I've become aware of that I've been holding on to that I need to cancel? Let them go, and I start the cycle over. So we suggest that as a daily practice. Is that kind of what you were looking for, Rex?
Awesome. Yes. Excellent description and communication about how it works. And it's incredibly effective. And I'm learning. I apologize. Are you getting a clicking sound? Is that me in my phone here?
No, I think it's our internet connection.
Okay. I was just checking to see if I had that from my perspective. It was for you or from there.
No,
but what I found one of the most powerful points, and there's so many things with the Laws of Living course, but one of the most powerful is the idea, the truth that we cannot manage the mind directly. We can only manage it indirectly, and we manage it by managing our goals daily. And then indirectly, that is because the goals are the driver that's retrieving the information out of the mind, it allows us to manage the mind indirectly. And I find that to be really, really effective with explaining things to people as to how we think we can control what we think. We think we can control what we think. We think we can control how we feel. And we can't. We're not designed to control it. We're designed to choose to be in the conscious presence of love in our minds. Just so profoundly simple. The idea of part of the defense or the resistance to doing daily goal management is because then we will change the realities, and we will see how, and we will direct ourselves in a way that will move us in the direction of experiencing pure love more and more. And it's just that resistance, and we spoke of it, the Satan with a little s, the deceiver within, and then the human mind or the brain or the carbon-based memory, will offer up things that will say, no, we don't want to do that today. I've had that happen at least once, at least. I know it might have been more than once, and that's totally tongue-in-cheek, obviously. And I really appreciate the opportunity to share, and we're going into the prison tomorrow, and I'm excited about it. The guys are doing a lot of good work. I appreciate everyone's love and support of the work that we're doing, and also the obviously it's all in harmony and synergistic with the work Michael's doing. And, you know, my good friend Mark Hattis is really actively doing his work, so any extra prayers sent toward him would be greatly appreciated. And you know, just lots of love, and just seeing him in just a beautiful, wonderful state of joy, experiencing himself as pure love would be wonderful. But other than that, I thought I would, you know, check off, Michael, and allow anyone else that may have a hand up or a conversation that might ensue as a result of what we've opened up. And thank you so much, brother. And Jeannie and Tim.
Absolutely
well.
Delighted, glad to have you on the team. Plan to be on that team for eternity.
You got it.
Thank All you. Right, take care. All right. Well, thanks for that sharing, Rex. That's powerful and good question on the management sheet. And I understand that Nene is in the chat room, and Jeannie has something to share with us. I'm going to hand the phone to Jeannie.
Hey, a couple of things. First, I was just sharing with Nene that she had started a support group in Coral Springs. I'm not even sure how long ago that has been, probably a year or two, probably two. And I don't know if Nene was there that day or if just the support team was continuing on in her absence, because I know she's gone back and forth to Venezuela. But there was a gentleman just about 2 weeks ago that attended that support group and was introduced to the work. And then he came back home. He lives here in Costa Rica. And when he saw that we were doing a four-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop here in Costa Rica, he got so excited. And so he and a friend of his, they came Saturday. And there was another gentleman who was there who didn't speak very much English. And so both the man who had attended in Florida and the lady that was with him, they translated for this other gentleman during the workshop. And they were both so excited. And we'll be putting a video out on our Facebook, Why Again Facebook page, of him doing some of the translation. And he was so animated and everything. And we are just sure that we now have two more teachers, and they were both doing just awesome, and they've got it. I mean, they just tapped into it, and they understand it, and so they're coming back this coming Saturday. We're doing our intensive begins on Friday here in Costa Rica, but Saturday morning we're doing a four-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and that's free open for anybody that wants to come, so both of these people are coming back to it and bringing some more people with them. And so it's just awesome. So, Nene, I just first wanted to thank you for stepping up and doing the support group, because of that support group, this man was introduced to the work, and we possibly have two more teachers now because of that. So thank you for doing your work. And then the second thing is she was putting in the chat room that Venezuela is basically under, you know, it's just in terrible condition right now, with all of the uprising, and she said there's, you know, generally a lot of violence and killing and uncertainty and a lack of supplies and food shortage. And so she said, you know, it's just keep her family, her daughter and some of her other family is still there in Venezuela, although she's back in Florida right now. And so she's just asking for everybody to hold the space for them while they're there in all this unrest and everything, that things will go smoothly. And she just typed to me, it was a year and a half ago in Coral Springs. So we thank you again, Nene, for that.
We thank you, and we acknowledge you for the work you've been doing with people in Venezuela and South Florida, and you know, getting that group started. And we want to thank Hugo, who was actually the teacher in that workshop. He did a whole Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, and did a powerful enough job of it that Diego, who was the gentleman that Jeannie's talking about, when he saw our name, just, you know, it was instant. There was no question he was coming to the workshop. And so seeds been planted, and I think we've got, as Jeannie said, two teachers that are going to carry on with the work here in Costa Rica and help us to ground it here. And that's one of the reasons for us being in Costa Rica. We're working on developing a heartland south here and really establishing the work here. Since Costa Rica has people coming from all over the world all the time, and the mindset here is one that we really want to support. For those who perhaps aren't familiar with Costa Rica, it's an interesting country. It leads the world in some very powerful ways. For one, it's planning on having a carbon neutral footprint by 2020. While everybody else is crying, complaining how they can't do it, Costa Rica's doing it. Their power, their electric power is 90% plus from wind and solar. While everybody else is talking about it, Costa Rica's doing it. And their commitment is to get to 100% wind and solar to provide all the power in the country. And one of the biggest things that impressed me about Costa Rica and that makes me want to really support what's happening here is here's a country that in 1948, you know, right after the big, scary monster wars are happening and everybody warned them how they'd be overrun, in 1940, Costa Rica said, end of military. They outlawed the military and dedicated their military budget to sanitation and health care. That's something worth supporting. If we could just get that to open all around the globe, how different would the game be globally? How different would lives be? What's happening in Venezuela and so many other places couldn't be happening. And that mindset, if we could just reestablish human life on the planet, it would be pretty awesome. So that's why we're working and doing what we're doing. That's why Jeannie and I travel 6 to 10 months of the year, taking the work anywhere in the globe we're invited. And we appreciate everybody who supports us in doing that. And so, Jeannie, you've got a caller? Area code 417. You are on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Magda calling from Missouri.
Hey there. Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you so very much. Well, I really am enjoying the show as usual and very much like the review of the Mind Goal Management sheet. And I just wanted to add some information that might help some other folks who are finding that sheet confusing. I did find it confusing myself. And the reason
it
I finally figured out.
Right?
Say again?
It caused the confusion, right?
Oh, no, I found it confusing. Said.
Go for it. Go for it.
Okay, so I finally figured out why. And it is because for almost 30 years I was teaching developmental reading to kindergarten and first grade students. And in developmental reading in English, we teach left to right progression of words and sentences and pages in books. And we teach top-to-bottom progression. And so what I realized was that it wasn't flowing for me in a top-to-bottom progression. And I took care of that so very easily by simply doing a little cutting and pasting. And I put the morning at the top because that made sense to my brain. I still have to start in the middle on the sheet the day before. However, it really flows better for me, at least, to start with the next morning at the top and then go to the PM each evening, checking on the results and feedback below that, and then framing the goals for the next day below that. So that really took care of my issues with the sheet, because the Mind Goal Management sheet is incredibly valuable, and I was finding myself enjoying using it after I did that readjustment and rearrangement. So I just wanted to add that as a possibility.
Awesome. Very cool. That works. And you might want to take it to the next step of realizing that your education put you in a box and made one way of doing things work and showed other ways. And perhaps a few worksheets around that, And you may find that anything you look at, instead of, oh, I have to do it this way, which is the way we've been trained, I could do it this way or that or that or that or that, and really let intuition kick in, and you might find yourself inventing totally, completely new ways of doing it and not be locked into a box at all.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the internal and the external. You know, for me, changing the sheet around would be, okay, so this is a way to handle the external, but it leaves the internal intact. And to me, forgiveness is about knocking out the walls of the box. So there are no limitations in it. I can remember being a kid in school, and math was just an easy thing for me. And I would have answers that the teachers would say, well, how did you arrive at that? And, you know, for some reason, I really couldn't explain it, and I certainly couldn't explain it, so they could put it in the box that they were in. So even though coming up with the right answers was correct, I'd get a failing grade because it didn't fit in their box.
I hear you.
And, you know, one of the things that the so-called, you know, to me, if you look at the word education, it's educare, means to draw out who we are, as opposed to boxing in who they want us to be. And those who control the indoctrination system that's usually called education, and to me, if it's not drawing out who we are, if it's not knocking out the boxes in the mind and giving our human being this full expression, then it's indoctrination, which, you know, it serves the commercial system very well, because then everybody does everything the same way and produces uniform commercial results and makes money. Become great slaves for the king. But to me, working the other way around, knock the boxes out and empower people in every faculty and every attribute they have becomes important. And, you know, knocking those walls out becomes key. And I think for me, fortunately, I didn't buy a lot of the boxes that were sold to me in my educational process or so-called education. And I think that's why I've been able to assemble the work that I've assembled from so many different disciplines, because I wasn't, you know, driven into and locked into a box as the culture wanted me to be. I kind of traveled a different path, and I feel blessed that I did that.
Oh, definitely. That is an incredible value that you bring to being able to draw from and put together in a concise and wonderful way all of that information. And, you know, Michael, you were ahead of your time, because what you were doing was later called the new math. It didn't matter how you got to the answer, just so you did it. So I'm going to actually need to do at least one worksheet on you, Michael, because you just... This is my projection. You just told me that I did it wrong. How do you like that? That's a pretty incredible projection, isn't it?
Well, Magda, I was just thinking about this the other day, and, you know, this is really an honor for me, because you're the first person that's ever had to do a worksheet on me.
Really? Is that right? No, because I've done a worksheet on you before. But, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for triggering my issues around, lots of stuff, not being perfect, being imperfect, and, yeah. So thank you. I'll go with that. And it's nice that I can laugh about it. And I wasn't going to tell you, but I realized, oh, my goodness, I've got some stuff going on inside of me that doesn't feel very loving. What is this? So while you were talking, I was getting in touch with that and realized, oh, he just told me I did it wrong and that I should do it this way. And so thanks. Thank you.
Cool. Well, I'm glad I've given you the opportunity to learn forgiveness. And,
absolutely.
That's just awesome.
And clear a little more stuff. Right, right. Okay, well,
and
I will sign off. Say again.
Well, I was just going to add to the conversation that, the king thinks you did it perfectly. And for the king, you did. And I know that just your presence and your being made an awesome contribution to those children's lives that you touched. And I think that in order to, you know, oftentimes people look for health care, and one of the messages I like to give is you don't have to be sick to get better, and we don't have to be wrong to open up and enhance our human attributes and head to the next level. So maybe some worksheets on doing it wrong, you know, might be useful, because the message was that there's perhaps a downside and an upside to things, and maybe if we just keep heading for the light and moving up, it'll get better and better.
Right, right. Yeah, right and wrong, good and bad, the whole, I just once again tapped into that whole business, and yeah, thank you, Jeannie. And tell Jeannie that I am going to learn how to do the putting the notes onto Facebook. I am going to do that. I'm dealing with some of my own fears around being able to, I've never been able to figure out Facebook yet. So this is a challenge, and I will do it, and I will be asking her for help. Thank you, Jeannie.
Well, let me assure you that it's simple as ABC, really. I've never opened Facebook before, and I've been doing posts. If you look on it, I've been doing several posts over the last few days. I've even been able to put pictures on it, and it really is pretty simple. So maybe a worksheet on fear there might be useful, and let go of the fear. And just, I mean, it really is pretty simple, and I'm sure that Jeannie will support you through it.
Great. Great. It's probably like everything else.
It'll be
else.
Awesome to have.
Yeah.
When we don't know how to do it, we don't have the brain cells, it's difficult.
Right. It seems difficult, and it certainly isn't. You get down to learning out and go, oh, yeah, well, that was easy. My issue is getting to the point where I'm willing to go there and take the risk. So I'm getting presented with some nice work here, and I appreciate it. I'm saying that with my mouth kind of, oh, my. I really am triggered. I guess I'm triggered on several different fronts. So, good. It's all good. Yeah.
Well, we hold the space, knocking down more walls. That's what the forgiveness process is about. And so we support you, and we're here to hold the space. That's awesome.
Great.
And we also appreciate the fact that on a daily basis you're doing these notes and making them available so that anybody who goes to the archives, and for those who are new to the show or aren't aware of this, basically what Magda does on a daily basis is she listens to the show and does a set of notes and attaches them to the archives so that people can go back through and see what that show is about and look for the topics that are relevant to them. So huge, huge appreciation for the fact that you've chosen to spin that plate for us. You know, I oftentimes compare myself to, and Jeannie and I both, to the guy at the circus that, you know, spins a plate, gets two going, gets three going, gets five, gets seven, and then has to go back and get number one spinning again, and two and three and four and seven and 10 and 20. And we pretty much usually have between 200 and 250 plates spinning. And if anybody who's involved in the work would like to take a plate or two from us and help, that would mean that we'd be able to get another plate or two spinning. And that's what we're down here in Costa Rica doing. That's all just part of it. And while I'm mentioning my appreciation to you, and I was talking about, you know, saying thanks, I want to offer a thank you as well to my mom. You know, several of you know that my mom passed away a few months ago, and one of the things that I always used to say to my mom was, "Mom, spend it." You know, she would always be scrimping and saving and spending as little as possible. I'd say, "Mom, save it. Put on the fly leaf of your will. Being of sound mind and body, I spent every damn cent I had. And in case there's anything left over, here's what you..." And so Mom did not spend it all. And one of the things that that got us to Costa Rica twice and actually helped to fund our Europe trip was that she left a small inheritance that's moving the work forward in more arenas, in more ways, in more areas. And so anybody who chooses to jump on board, if there's a plate you know how to spin with technology or property, property management or any of things. You know, if you can imagine 17 acres and 15 buildings in the Ozarks in southern Missouri, and there was a group at Heartland last year that put together the Healthy Happy Heartland Project. If you'd like to support that, if you go to the website, you'll see up in the, I think it's the right corner, you'll see a 3HP, H3P link, I get that backwards, HP3 link there, and it'll tell you a little bit about the Healthy Happy Heartland Project. And if you'd like to support that, if you'd like to help to fund that, that would be awesome. There's a group that's actually starting to take over the management of the property and the maintenance of the property so that we can be liberated to take the work globally on another level. There, you know, there's certain things that with the work at this stage that, you know, pretty much it's limited to Jeannie and I. And so everybody who chooses to take a plate and spin it and enhance it, which you've done magnificently with your notes, Magda, we appreciate it. And I say appreciation to my mom that she left a little bit of money that actually helped us to take care of some financial things at Heartland that were getting stressed and to take us to where we could take this actually to three different countries this year. So it's pretty awesome and much appreciation.
Pretty awesome indeed. Pretty awesome. I am very grateful for your appreciation, and I want to add that Susan Pelkey is ready and willing anytime to stand in for me when I cannot be present to do the notes. So a shout out of appreciation to Susan Pelkey as well. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes. And to Susan Giles for her part in it. It's all, you know, we could not do this project without a lot of help from our friends.
Absolutely. Susan Giles is a miracle worker on the website. So thank you to you as well, Susan. Okay, well, that's all I have today. Thank you for all of the good triggers, Michael. I appreciate you and Jeannie and the work, and I look forward to doing my work with this.
Cool. Well, and it's a nice example. You know, we talk to people and they oftentimes will say, well, no, I couldn't imagine ever doing that. And this is a good example of it, where we've been trained when somebody triggers something in us to want to take off their heads, to want to stop them from what they're doing, to change them. When one begins engaging in their work and sees that each of those situations is an opportunity to learn forgiveness, then one actually thanks their trigger. So I appreciate that. Thank you. And even more, I appreciate the demonstration of the principle that when you really start to do your work, the things that other people call bad and, you know, and have all kinds of nasty words for are really gifts. And so thank you for your gifts. And Jeannie has a comment in the chat room to share with us about worksheets. So, Jeannie?
And also, I think that we're getting close on time, but I believe that this is Julie that's on, so I'm going to turn her on too because perhaps she can give an answer as well. There's two people making comments in the chat room, and the first one was, okay, wait a minute, my screen just rolled on me. I hear what he's saying, however, isn't he, and he being Michael, also telling people, okay, my screen rolled again. Apologies here. Okay, isn't he also expecting people to do it his way, educating to believe that the worksheet is the only way? Maybe I'm missing something here, but I have to say that I have a hard time understanding the worksheets and have also tried to adjust them to my way of thinking. I've also done worksheets on doing worksheets. So a lot of people have done that. And so then someone else popped in and said, perhaps while you're answering the question on the complicated worksheet, then why all the multiple different fonts, italics, et cetera, it seems to distract instead of add, and that's just from a designer aesthetic perspective. And then they also mentioned Julie using a giant marker on hers. So since Julie's online, perhaps she'll want to mention that too.
Sure. Well, I have some thoughts about those comments. And the first one would be, you know, I'm looking out a window here in Escazú, Costa Rica, and if there was a gentleman over there that wanted to dig a hole, then we'd say, well, you're going to need a tool to dig a hole. And if you're going to dig a hole, you're going to dig a hole. That's what it's going to take. Now, you might use a shovel, you might use a spade, you might use your hands, but you're going to need a tool. And as far as doing it my way with a worksheet, actually it's doing it his way. I took what Yeshua taught 2,000 years ago out of the first century Aramaic language and put it into the English language in a way that it becomes workable for people. I think the difficulty with the worksheet is that it turns everything backward. In other words, when I say, you made me mad, I'm in denial. That's our definition of denial. When I speak about something outside of me as causing something to happen inside of me, I'm in denial. And when I go into denial, I dissociate from that which creates my disturbance or upset. And is there one way to get to the core of that? Well, in my 45 years of work, I've found one person who understood how to dig that hole, how to open the space to get to the dissociated content and process it out. And to do that on a consistent, conscious, persistent basis. I haven't found another tool that does that. Now, if you've got one, I'm glad to look at it, and I've looked at everything that anybody's brought to me, but there is one, you know, method that I've found that consistently, systematically allows people to dig down into the dissociated content of their minds and work through it. It's called reality management. It's called first century Aramaic forgiveness. Anything but my way, but, you know, the simple fact is it consistently gives people the ability to go to that dissociated state and clean it up. So it's a tool. It's got nothing to do with my way. If anything, it's his way, and it works. So that would be my input. And as far as the fonts go there, I'm not a designer. I apologize for that. I'm just doing the best I can to make it available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And the fonts make things stand out. They give people an opportunity to start to confront the backward parts of their minds. And that's a difficult, difficult thing. If one hangs around long enough and engages often enough, they'll build the brain cells for why and how it works, and all of a sudden it will become their best friend. And so that'd be my input, and I think we're down to – and Julie, say hello. I think we're down to just a couple of minutes, Julie, but how do you be, young lady?
I'd be fine. I was outside shoveling snow. We had about 3 inches of ice and snow last night. And, you know, I feel like that worksheet is probably the best tool. I've used it for 28 years or 27 years, whatever. And I think it's the best thing ever. It's my best friend, and I told you that years ago, and you can take that anywhere with you, whether you're on the plane or in your job or whatever, and move the energy out right on the spot. It's fabulous.
Yes. And what I've found, and maybe you'll have some thoughts on this, Julie, and perhaps we could pick this conversation up tomorrow, but what I've found is invariably when somebody adjusts the worksheet to their own mind, what they do is they miss the key steps. It's a way to avoid the key steps. In fact, there's a guy who wrote a book based on the worksheet, and he has his own worksheet. He now, in the first version of his book, he didn't acknowledge that his worksheet came from mine. We connected with him one day, and he did put it in his book in the next edition, but he totally completely leaves out the core and the key step of forgiveness. So he's got a worksheet that he calls forgiveness that has nothing whatsoever to do with forgiveness. He made it so it worked his way, and it's not forgiveness. So any thoughts on that?
No, I tend to think that you might be accurate. You know, I know myself, I have tended in my past to avoid my pain, not even aware that I'm trying to avoid my pain. So it might be used, you know, detrimental. I think that you have so many choices of different types of worksheets to, you know, to play with, to get comfortable with, to use. I mean, it's not like you just say, this is the only one. You have a variety on the website. You even have a new one, a new version. So it's like if you've really familiarized yourself with the worksheet, you can really make friends with it and use it the way it is.
And one of the things that you've done so beautifully, Julie, is you've taken the worksheet and put it into a level where a four-year-old can understand it and work with it and build from there. So check out that on the website. And, Julie, maybe if you've got the space, you could call in first thing in the show tomorrow. We'll continue this conversation. In the meantime, we've got to go. Give the world the best gift you can. Give them the best year yet of your eternal life. Bring strangers to the show tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Thank you for listening to Mind.